You look like you're beat.
I are.
When did you go on?
I left the house at 4:30 this morning and got here at 5:30 to be on duty by 6. Wow. But I have to check out all the rigs before I go on duty. So
you're 13 hours into your shift already.
Yep.
Sorry, fellas, no alcohol. This is just iced tea.
I have
Sprite.
This is a mug full of port.
He's using a mug rather than, you know, a little port.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, are Apple and Google teaming up? Big asteroid, come this way. And would you buy onion goggles? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Jash, Barry J, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 75 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it's starting to get cold and Christmas-like. I'm Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
From Mercy EMS Station near Houghton County International Airport. Well, I don't know if it's international, but whatever. I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper.
International what? To Canada?
Well, it's actually an airport built by Canada, so I guess it is an international airport.
Nice.
There you go. Well, welcome everybody, and it's just been a crappy week for me. Work is not behaving well, and the holidays are coming up, and we were just talking about this. It looks like I may have to work over the holidays. Not looking forward to that.
Bummer.
But that should motivate me to stay late, and, well, I'll probably have to stay late, too. So it doesn't matter.
Just stay late and matter. Work on the holiday. Wow, yeah. A bonus.
Yeah. So, and we're whining as Michael sits there on a 24-hour shift.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
So, but how's the weather there? Because you were saying that you were expecting a snowstorm.
Yeah, the worst of it seems to be going all around us, but it is snowing. I was looking out the window actually just before we started the podcast, and it's coming down pretty good out there. I know they're getting hammered in Minneapolis, but most of that seems to be going either up and below us or up and around us. You know, Thunder Bay's got some pretty good covering going on right now. But, yeah, it's coming down.
Oh, that's good, I guess. You'll have a white Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
We may not. Who knows? It's not looking good here. It's been warm enough that, well, every time precipitation comes this way, it warms up for it. So we'll
see. It's supposed to be a rather warm month off the Farmer's Almanac here in the New England area. It's supposed to be a rather warm December.
Really? Well, yep. They're right so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the Farmer's Almanac, published not far from the QRM studios here in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. They are located in Dublin, New Hampshire, right next door.
Yes.
And you can see the Yankee. They also publish Yankee Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Those who don't know that. And they do have a webcam if you want to go see the beautiful downtown Dublin. I use that as my weather window at work since I work in a windowless environment. So that's my window for a weather check at home. I have the Yankee Magazine webcam up. So Ah, okay. So last night we had a small MW3 match.
Yes, we did.
With, Michael's son and Josh and I, and it was fun. I went up two levels. Despite,
yes, you did.
Despite myself.
Well, I have to say it was fun, especially when I'm going, Barry, where are you? When we're hunting around, and Michael's son was on the hunt, on the prowl, trying to get both Barry Jay and I. And I said, Barry, where are you? And you have radio silence because he's hiding in a corner somewhere.
Not that it matters. I could talk. Nobody will know where I am when I talk, but it's just that. That thing, you know,
yeah.
Radio silence goes with hiding.
So it was nice. It was Barry J and I versus Michael's son, and basically, so that was, and it was Michael and me, and Barry was just here to hold his son's bullets.
Yeah. After they were fired.
Michael's son and myself. Exactly. Literally, it was like one-on-one, and oh, by the way, occasionally shoot Barry J.
Yeah, we did play in a couple public matches. And
That
was fun. One we got annihilated on. We found a couple cheaters.
There's always the lag switchers and the, what do you call it? It's the guys with the mods.
Mm. All I know is, yeah, every once in a while the whole screen would shutter, you know.
Yep. That's just the old lag switch.
Opportune time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
frustrating.
So that was a fun time. I hadn't been on in a long time, so I'll have to get on more. Of course, we probably would have played Black Ops 2, except, there's one in the group. There's always one in the group that doesn't have it. Doesn't have the game yet. So,
yeah.
So Mark didn't have it until about mid-afternoon yesterday.
Well, yeah, he had it, and Josh has it, so.
Yeah.
I'm still
one in the group.
I'm still waiting for Santa. I asked for it for Christmas from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
You guys couldn't wait and went out and got it before Christmas. Yeah.
No, my son went out and got it. Clarify that. He's got more money than I do.
Oh, jeez. So,
discretionary, anyhow.
Yeah. Exactly, because they don't have the bills that adults and parents have.
Yeah. So, but it was fun, and I'll have to get back into it again and play, because that's what Josh keeps lecturing me on. You know, if you got on and you played more often, like just 1 or 2 hours a week, and you'll get better at it. Because, you know, he literally, when we were in the three, it was just the three of us in a private game, I'm trying to shoot him, and Josh walks right up to me. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going, da-da, da-da, da-da.
Yeah, and every one of his bullets were flying over my right shoulder, and I'm like, I'm standing right in front of you.
So he's standing right in front of me. He stops, and he's standing there. I still can't hit that.
And I'm saying, I could literally, if the guy had a wallet in his front pocket, I could take it out, remove his driver's license, read his military ID and driver's license, put it back, and he still wouldn't hit me. So I stabbed him.
And then we played Infected, which these guys run around and shoot people, and about 3 seconds into the match, I get infected, so I'm running around trying to stab people, because there's no weapon if you get infected.
Right, you just have a knife.
Yeah, and I have apparently a low tolerance for this infection, because I seem to get it about 3 seconds into the match.
Well, like anything else, so the more you do it, the better you get at it, and it is what it is, you know? It's like practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I think it's a lost cause with me. Maybe I just need to sit up closer to the TV, too, because half the time I don't see the people. The only people I see are the ones with names over top of them, and they're the good guys.
No, you'll see the bad guys, too. Quite honestly, the optimum distance I find is about 10 feet.
Okay, I'm further than that.
Yeah, you're further than that, because you'll see more what's going on at a distance at 10 feet.
Hmm.
if you're too far away, when guys are way far away, like 50 yards away, you won't necessarily see a move, but if they have a scope, they see you, and then you lay down from lead poisoning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and my friend Jim wasn't helping me at all.
Oh, Jim, Mr. Beam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Military advisor was actually slowing down your reaction.
I think he was slowing me down a little bit, but... So, anyway, so shall we go on to the tech topics?
Sure. Absolutely.
And the first one is an Apple topic, of course. Actually, this is one that Josh told me about, and I went out and found the story. Apparently, Apple and Google are teaming up to go after some Kodak patents.
Because Kodak filed for bankruptcy.
Yes, and they're going, I think they're like half a billion dollars they're offering up for the Kodak's patents. And Kodak,
1,600 patents.
They have a lot of patents. As a matter of fact, Kodak invented the digital camera. And then
I didn't know that.
Yes, they did. Yep. They have the patent for that and promptly put themselves out of business because most of the what they make money on is the film.
Film.
So, yeah. So that's that wasn't a good thing for Kodak. And, of course, Kodak lost big money somewhere else and, well, the U.S. government because the U.S. government used to use lots and lots and lots of film. And they don't anymore. They went the digital way. If you know what I'm talking about. they send digital pictures back. So, yeah, they lost a lot of business there, too. So, anyway, and apparently people are saying, now, I don't think Apple and Google have outright said this, but the main reason they teamed up, and this is kind of strange, is because they don't want Samsung to get them.
Now, Samsung or Sony to come in and buy up those patents.
And that's interesting since Samsung makes Android phones. So that's kind of interesting that Google is preventing them from owning those patents. And you have to ask why. Why is that?
Well, inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
But realistically, I mean, well, this is just one theory. Wouldn't it be prudent for Google to own those patents and Samsung has to buy rights to use any one of those patents, so they have to pay Google to put whatever feature on the Samsung device versus Samsung owning it and Google having to pay extra because it has a certain feature that Samsung gobbled up the patents on. So, I mean, it's advantageous for Google to definitely hold on to those, and it also gives them the freedom to say, oh, I don't know, break away from that manufacturer if they so choose.
That, too. And also, there is scant rumors that Samsung is also developing their own OS.
That would make sense.
I don't know whether that's something that's good or not. It would have to be far superior than Android right now, because right now Android has caught up with the iPhone.
Yep.
iOS 6,
yeah.
And so, you know, that's Samsung's making a ton of money on, you know, on iOS 6. I mean, yes, they make nice phones.
No. Samsung isn't making a ton of money on iOS 6. They're making a ton of money on Android.
I'm sorry. Android, yes. Because people are buying the Samsung phones because of Android, the Android operating system.
Yeah, so. Honeycomb, Ice Cream Sandwich. Ice Cream Sandwich is the biggie now. Jelly Bean's coming out.
Jelly Bean's starting to come out.
Yeah. Jelly Bean's cool.
Yeah, that's Jelly Bean is supposed to be the cream of the crop right now. That it's blowing people away, and they're already working on Key Lime Pie.
That's really? What if you want a Jelly Bean Sandwich?
So, huh?
What about a jelly bean sandwich, huh?
Oh, jeez. That'll be their new phone.
Jelly bean sandwich ice cream topper. Man. That'll be three generations away.
Yeah.
Well, you figure...
So maybe it's Samsung that's coming out with insulin.
Insulin. Oh, jeez.
That's good. Well, you figure, I was sitting here, there's really only three main operating systems. You can either have a Windows phone, an Android phone, or an iOS Apple phone. Mm-hmm. Where does Nexus come in, or in the mix? Do they have their own operating system, or are they using...
Well, Nexus is the Google phone.
It's still, it's Google phone, okay.
Yeah, so it's Android, but I mean, I think Nexus made it for Google. Right?
No,
that's their brand name, isn't it, Nexus?
It's their brand name.
Because it's now made by LG, right? The latest Nexus was produced by LG.
The one I've got was produced by Asus. The Nexus 7 I've got is by Asus. Okay. Now, the Nexus 4 might be from LG.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the phone. The phone.
Okay. Yeah, the Nexus 4 is the phone.
Okay, yeah, that was by LG. Before that, I think it was an HTC phone, if I'm...
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
So anyway, yeah, but that's the one that Google sells, and of course they sell it open, and that's supposedly, if you can afford it, because it's full price to buy those things, that's the one to get, because you don't have all the trappings when you buy an AT&T phone or... You know, so one from the carrier, because the carrier kind of restricts what can be done. And also, Nexus gets all the updates as quick as they come out, whereas the carriers tend to say, we're not gonna update that phone for a while. So
right. The Nexus series, all of it is going to be reference design. So you get the latest and greatest, and it's all by Google's vision of what's supposed to be in there hardware-wise and software-wise.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what Windows or Microsoft is doing with Surface.
Yeah, except only successfully.
I just couldn't believe last week when we talked about the big Surface that how much they were going to cost. I mean, that's, you know, obviously they're not looking at the home market for those tablets. They're looking at business.
Did you hear Leo Laporte when he got back from Australia?
No, I'm a little behind on some of his stuff.
He's like the first. I'm not sure if it was This Week in Tech or which show it was, but he came back and he's like, "Oh, I am so sorry for recommending the Surface. I don't."
Oh, really? Because he took one with him.
He was not happy with it. He took that thing with him on the cruise, and
he was not happy with it at all, huh?
I don't think so. His first impressions were good, and he was raving about it before he left, and he came back, and he's like, I hope I didn't lead anybody astray with this thing.
Well, you know, it does look pretty. I mean, I'm running Windows 8 on this machine, and when you bring up the, what they used to call Metro screen, that display, it's really cool looking. But all I do is, you know, I'm on it maybe once in a blue moon. I'll go to it to... Go click on something because you can put all your apps or your programs on there.
Right.
So it makes it easy to go to that and click on a button. But most of the time, my machine sits in the old standard view here.
Right. You know,
desktop view. So not seeing what's so special
the benefit.
About it. No, there's really no benefit for it, especially since I don't have a touch screen. Right. That seems like you know, it's made for touchscreen, and you kind of have to go figure out how to get back to that too. You got to go up into the upper right corner. Just move your mouse up there, and then a menu shows up, and you can go click on the window button, basically, and that brings you back to that display. So it's I mean. So far, Windows 8 has been running very nice. No worse than Windows 7, which
no worse.
Well, Windows 7 is the best one they've had out there so far.
You think so?
Yeah, I really had no issues with Windows 7. You know, except for the usual Microsoft stuff where you install most apps. You install, you have to reboot afterwards.
Right. Yeah. I have to say, I agree. Windows 7. I was reluctant at first because I was a diehard XP guy, and by the time it came out with Service Pack 3 for XP, it was a pretty doggone stable platform. Hmm. At least in my experience, it really, really was a stable platform to work off of. So I thought, oh great, now when all the bugs are worked out and it's humming right along and all the machines, And it does. It's not a resource or a memory hog as much as, say, Windows 7. Why in the world do I want to upgrade? And then I got this PC, and it came with Windows 7 on it. And I have to say, well, I haven't, I guess, had as good a luck as you have, Barry J.
Really?
No, well, this, you know, and it's not particularly the machine, I don't believe, so much as the operating system on this hangs. It hangs regularly.
Wow. I haven't had, mine hasn't hung at all on Windows 7. And I was running that for a good, probably 2 years, I guess.
That's... I found it to be a wake-up, when it goes into wake-up mode on a laptop,
okay.
It hangs on this machine. So you go to wake it up, and it just goes in a endless loop, 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 and so and you can't even get to the task manager to kill it and go back. So you're shutting it off and turning it on. When I changed Windows 7 64-bit settings and told it it's not on a laptop, run like you're on a desktop, don't go to sleep, then it seemed to stabilize.
Hmm. Yeah, because you know, mine never goes to sleep, so that's interesting. So there's definitely problems with this waking up from slumber.
From when it's in the hibernation mode.
Oh, I'm spoiled by my Mac.
Yeah, just keep rubbing that in. Keep rubbing that in. Every time, you know what, Christmas, I'm going to come over, and I'll sit there and go, okay, I just want to play with the Mac. Virus? What's a virus? It doesn't get those. It doesn't hang.
Is, like I said, mine is getting old, and my wife...
Yeah, but it still works really, really, really good. You know, it's. I just don't run Google Chrome on it.
I have to tell you, I think I told you the story, but my wife says she was being very serious about this. She goes, "Why don't we just pool all our money and you go out and get your new MacBook and for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, that's a very nice thought, but I can't do that because that's not fair to you, and I don't want to do that." She goes, "Well,"
right.
And she goes, "Well, you know, it would be about like $1,200, you know, because we've kind of scaled Christmas back a lot.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
it was total, you know, grand total of everything." And she goes, "It'd be about $1,200. I said, "Well, there's the second problem." I said, First, I want to get you presents. And Second,
double it.
The computer I'm looking at is $2,700.
Exactly.
She's like, "Oh."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, that's what this one cost."
Yep.
But it's still here, 6 going on 7 years.
And it's pounding away. I still ask the same question. Can't you take all your stuff off of it, reload the operating system, put Mountain Lion on it, and or Snow Leopard, and have it run fast again like it was when it was brand new?
It runs as fast as it did new. The problem with Macs, don't do that like Windows machines.
Okay.
They don't get crapped up. And that's mostly on Windows. That's because of the repository.
Mm-hmm.
Repository? Yeah. Gets totally gunked up with crap.
Gunked up.
Registry.
Yeah.
It's a combination of registry and the NTFS and
right.
formatting of the hard drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. With Mac, they use a different disk format, which doesn't do that. And all the files that are required for an application to run are within the same folder as the application.
Okay.
So actually, when you go into the applications folder on a Mac, you see each of the applications. Well, that's actually a folder, and inside there is, you know, they've got the application folder, and then they've got all the data folders that are required to run that.
So, that's smart.
Yeah,
that
so
way you're not hunting around and looking for all the bits and pieces.
Right, and when you delete a program on a Mac, it deletes the entire folder. So it's gone, and there's no little bits left over. Again,
you don't need crap cleaner.
Right.
I got to run that on everything of mine.
So I've got two major issues with my old PC, or my old Mac right now. The one issue is that with age and as things, you know, as you prevail, programs need more memory, physical memory, RAM, to run. Okay? Mine is maxed out at 3 gig. That's all mine can take. And that's what I've got in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And particularly, I think I mentioned this last week, the web browsers are the worst. they go in and go, give me all your memory lately. And I have a feeling it's HTML5 that's kind of a memory hog. And it could be that there's memory leaks and stuff like that going on. So every once in a while, what I find is like I've got a little dial down here, a little pizza multicolored pizza thing here that keeps the status of my memory. And so I can tell how much free space I've got. And, you know, as soon as the memory goes up, you know, my green space, which is my free memory, goes out completely, that means the machine's going to start swapping on the hard drive.
Okay.
Swapping out running programs to the hard drive. And and so...
Swapping.
Yes. And so that slows things down because going to the disk, accessing the disk is the slowest thing your computer can do. Mm-hmm. So that's why it goes slow, because it's swapping out. My wife's Mac Mini, I increased that to 8 gig. 8 gig seems to be a safe amount these days for computing because she has no problems whatsoever. There's always free RAM available.
Right.
So it's just time. And the other thing is, I can't upgrade. I'm running Snow Leopard or Lion. I'm actually running Lion, but I can't upgrade to Mountain Lion. My machine's too old, so I'm out. You know, they're gonna, if I keep this for another 2 years, I'm done. I'm not gonna be able to get anything from Apple. And right now it's okay because programs still run on it. But 2 years from now, you know, programs advance, upgrades come. They're not gonna run on the hardware that I have.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast. So I'm happy I got 6 years out of it. Like I said, I've got a stack of freaking laptops behind me from days gone by where I used to buy a laptop a year just about because, you know.
Yeah, you got quite the stack.
PC laptops just don't keep up with the times, you know. So that's why I need to, what I should have been doing is saving my pennies during that 6 years, and then I would have had the cash now to buy.
hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, next time I think I'll do that. Because surprisingly,
the Mac is I just pulled up the specs on the Dell, which is less than 4 months old.
Yeah,
and from the factory, I can't increase it, but it came from the factory. Yeah, Windows 7 64-bit installed memory, 2 gigabytes of RAM.
Really?
Yep, runs. Like I said, with the exception of the hanging from the hibernation, it runs good.
Hmm.
Runs real good. I have no problem with browsers at all. But then again, I'm running Windows.
Yeah, that could be something different there. Because the other thing that Macs tend to do is when you hit the little red button on a Mac, which is the equivalent to an X button on a Windows machine,
mm-hmm.
on a Windows machine, the program stops running. It goes away. On a Mac, it just puts it down into the bar. It doesn't stop running.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to go down there, right-click, and exit the program. So that's another thing you got to watch out for on a Mac, because it never really closes programs. So that could be a problem, too. But I usually watch and try to keep everything at a minimum. It could be, I don't know. I don't know what it is. All I know is when I get to a point where my memory is totally used up, and what I usually do is, used to be I used Chrome. Chrome was really bad at this. I would kill Chrome. I would stop the application. I'd get all my memory back, and then I could restart Chrome, and it wouldn't be, it would be pretty low. Oh, and that could be another thing, too. I tend to let it sleep, so these programs never stop. So I think with the web browsers, over time, they keep building up. Like I said, they're probably full of memory leaks.
Right, right.
So over time, they're just consuming memory and not giving it back. So every once in a while, you just got to kill a web browser and restart it, and then you'll find out it's not using as much memory. But if you let it run for 7 days, even in sleep mode and stuff, it just never gives back its memory.
That makes sense.
So you might find the same thing. I don't know whether you do that or not. I don't know whether you kill your browsers when you put it to sleep or not.
Yeah.
Okay. If you kill your browsers, that may be why you don't have memory problems.
Mm-hmm. I kill the browsers completely.
Try leaving the browsers up and letting it go to sleep, but keep the browsers up and see what happens. See if you, over a few days, your memory starts going down.
Good point. Good question. That's a nice experiment to try down the road.
Yeah. There is some kind of maximum on the web browsers, though, because, like I said, with 8 gigs in the machine, don't have any problems with the web browsers. So they must have some maximum amount of space or memory they use. It's just, it's more than 3 gigs, that's all I can tell you. So anyway, we should probably move on to the next topic now that I've bored everybody with computer talk. this was just an interesting thing. If you're a long time or an old time watcher of Tech TV, if you remember, that's where Leo Laporte, well, I won't say where he got his start, but that's where he became famous to most people, is there used to be a channel called Tech TV, and that was every geek's favorite channel.
ZDTV.
It used to be called ZDTV, then it changed
then
to Tech TV,
yeah.
And of course it had shows like The Screensavers and Call for Help, and John C. Dvorak had a show on there where he interviewed people, and it was just all about tech, and it was a geek's paradise. Well, and it's a lot like, if you want to know what it was like if you never watched it back in its heyday, just go watch Twitch shows. And Techzilla I'm forgetting the name of the company.
Vision 3. Isn't it Revision 3?
Revision 3, yeah, Revision 3. Techzilla Screensaver show, almost exactly. And Tech TV, or the Twit network of shows, is just like what Tech TV used to be. Well, what happened was Tech TV, Paul Allen bought Tech TV and then promptly sold it to G4, which was a gaming channel.
Right.
Okay. And the first thing they did was pretty much dump all the tech.
Yeah.
And changed the screensavers to, what the heck was the name of this stupid show? Attack of the Show.
Yeah, Attack of the Show. It was G4 Tech TV.
Yeah.
And then
it's just G4. And then Attack of the Show even became more about games than about tech.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much lost their entire viewing audience of the tech people. Gamers still watched it. Well, now what goes around comes around, I guess, because now G4 is dropping the last of their gaming shows.
Really now?
Yes. And they are going to, I'm not sure what kind of shows they're going to put on here, but it's going to change the name from G4 to the Esquire channel.
What's that, like for pornos?
Esquire, they're trying to get young males, that's their target audience. But I thought, Esquire? Is that something guys look at? A magazine? It's a magazine that's, frankly, bores me to death. I guess it's supposed to like men's trends and fashions and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, I don't know whether it's anything like Maxim. I have no idea. I don't subscribe to Esquire. So, maybe we should do a consult the Book of Knowledge on that.
That's really
On Esquire. But they're going to change their name to that, and I guess the gaming's going to go out, unless of course they happen to do some gaming in the shows that they're going to start producing. But I thought that was interesting. There are no longer any game channels or tech channels on television, on cable television now. If you want tech, you got to go to the internet.
All right.
So. Where it belongs, dang it. Although, Tech TV, it launched a lot of careers.
It did.
Vision 3 came out of it. Kevin Rose was an intern.
Yep.
At Tech TV and went on to become, he's become a venture capitalist and another angel and started Dig, and now it was somewhere up in Google somewhere. Sarah Lane came from Attack of the Show.
She came from Tech TV.
Yep.
She, or and, not, the screensavers, I mean. She
right.
Yeah.
And then the death of Attack of the Show for all the geeks out there, but they already know that, was when Olivia Munn left the show.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it when she was on.
Yeah.
She was the brunette.
Okay.
Yes.
If you say
very,
so.
Very, very attractive brunette.
As soon as they went to mostly gaming, it lost me totally. You know, I think at the time, I think Kevin Rose was leaving the show. They still had Sarah Lane.
Yep.
I'm not sure who else they brought in to replace, but it was like two stories on tech and the rest was gaming. And I said, I'm out of here. I don't give a shit about gaming that I need to watch TV shows for it. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what the Esquire channel is going to be. I know I won't be watching it.
Neither will I.
Josh, you went dark.
Yes, for some my machine, I'm just running a few. Here it is. How's that? Okay, is that more better?
Yeah, you're lit up now. Are you being lit by your laptop?
That's on, but I also have a light on behind me.
Okay. Yeah, your face light is coming from the laptop. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. See, I just shut it off now. And now, hold on a second.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, the camera light is on.
Yeah. Boy, that does a pretty good job.
So. I wouldn't know. I can't see it. Hold on, I have to bring it up. Oh, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, Michael left the scene.
Uh-oh. Yes, he did.
Oh, he's back. Okay, next topic. SpaceX awarded contract for the U.S. Air Force to provide Falcon rockets for two missions in 2014 and 2015, which is good news, I guess, because since the government has given up on space, at least the commercial world is coming in and replacing it, which I think is probably a good thing. Of course, you know, the way the government does it anyway, if you really look at it, NASA, they're not sending people in space anymore. They're not building rocket ships. Well, they never really did build rocket ships. They contracted it all out, and a bunch of contractors built the rocket ships. They may have managed it, but, you know.
To the lowest bidder.
That is also true. So they're, and I think these are heavy lift rockets that they're going to use, which is something that they haven't done yet.
Really? Yeah, no warp core engines?
Yeah, it's a Falcon Heavy. So, this is good. This is really good. Hopefully, these guys will help start the space, I don't want to say the space race, because it's not really a race anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, I just let that, because we usually pay attention to space stuff, and that was good news. The FCC chief has urged the FAA to ease airplane electronics ban during takeoff and landing, which I find, yes, they should do that. Not that I care that much, but you know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, why are they doing it? The frickin' pilots now have
iPads
in the cockpit with them, with all their manuals on it, and they're on during takeoff and landing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just doesn't make any sense that they make you turn off everything. Somebody said, "Well, it's so that you'll pay attention because takeoff and landing are the most critical times of the flight." And that's what they want you to be paying attention. But, you know, the guy's reading the newspapers or reading a book.
Right. Yeah. He ain't paying attention, and we all heard it anyway. Put your seat in the upright positions, your trays up. Yeah. Have your seatbelt on. If the plane goes down, stick your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. use your seat cushion as a flotation device.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit there and go, either this stuff is, like, you know, made from NASA, because quite honestly, that cushion's pretty damn small, because I know how tight it was to squeeze into the seat. And you're telling me this little cushion, all 12 and a half inches by 15 inches, is going to keep me afloat on the rolling ocean in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle somewhere. Yeah.
I couldn't say it better myself. Well, let's hope that they do change the rules, because it is stupid. And the only reason why, you know, you still have to turn off the antennas and everything, which I can see. And frankly, the last thing I want is somebody, you know that those kind of guys, you're on a plane, and as soon as the wheels touch the runway, they got their phone on and are, yeah, I just landed in Boston. Yeah. I'll be there in about 15, 20 minutes, okay? Yeah, I got to go get my car and my luggage. How are you? That guy. Like,
let's see. Okay, we're in a giant tube that, honestly, there's, like, let's face it, anywhere between 30 and 100 and some odd smelly, nervous people who've been sweating because there's turbulence coming into Boston. So instantly the plane, as it's coming in for its approach and its gentle banking, and drops, 70 feet in the air. So people, they're sweaty, they turn the air conditioning up, and now you got the loud talker. Yeah. He's got to announce to the world that he just showed up. I couldn't agree in Boston. And I'm thinking, buddy, you're not that God blessed important. I'm sorry if you think you are, but trust me, you're not.
Yeah.
And neither does the other 100 people on this plane give a shit either about you landing in Logan. You know?
Yeah. Now, can you imagine that guy being allowed to talk like that the entire flight?
Oh, the loud talker. You got to love him.
Let's have a meeting now. Get them on conference.
Yeah, exactly. Put them on here. We'll find out all about that shoe order. Buddy, you're talking about shoes. I really don't think you have to scream in this entire airplane about it. It's just completely frustrating. Yeah. I hate the loud talker.
So I'm more than glad for them to keep the rule about having the radios off.
Yeah, and if you're going to talk, you have to use earbuds. If you have your iPad or a tablet computer and you want to watch a movie, put your earbuds in, you can sit there and watch a movie. I watched them on my laptop. Yeah. I thought that was cool. What I hate is when you have people who are sitting there watching it and they don't have earbuds.
I've never experienced that. Most people have earbuds.
They try and turn it down real low. But if you have three or four people all watching different movies, all of them supposedly turned down low, it literally, all it does, it sounds like a QRM. It sounds like literally man-made noise. Ooh, the car. Boom, boom, boom. And you're like, really? Really, people? You couldn't pop for the $11 for a set of earbuds before you got your tickets to the plane? Really?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, hopefully, like I said, I always use earbuds. And I am I was so glad to get my iPad for those long trips. Because I ended up watching my movies. I just loaded it with my movies that I was interested in seeing. And I just sat there and watched the movies I wanted to.
What, you didn't want to watch Operation Dumbo Drop in the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, which was edited for...
Oh, exactly. It's like, oh, we're going to watch a movie. Which one? No, it's, we're going to watch Titanic. Oh, so we're going to watch a movie about a ship going down while I'm 38,000 feet in the air through turbulence. That's reassuring. Or it's Free Willy. And, and it's like... from 1984, Free Willy? You people need to update your playlist,
You know what? One time I was going to Australia. One of my coworkers, his wife, got him. He had one of those DVD players, portable DVD players. Yeah. And his wife got him packed a bunch of DVDs for him. And the one he was watching, he was watching the first season of Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was flying to Australia.
Now that's funny. That's almost as fun as getting on an airplane and watching the movie Airplane. Yeah. Really, honestly, that would just be the creme de la creme right there.
A hospital.
Leslie Nielsen. Exactly. Over, under, Oscar, over. Stop calling me over.
Roger.
Roger. Roger. That's it. Roger.
Clarence.
Oh, God.
And stop calling me Shirley.
That's right. That's it. Stop calling
me Shirley. A hospital? What is it?
Well, it's a building where they take sick people.
That doesn't matter now.
But that's not important now.
Yeah, that's not important now.
Oh, boy. Looks like... We just took a turn down a very fun path, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I'm doing it on Sprite.
Looks like I picked the wrong day to give up amphetamines.
Exactly. That's amphetamines. And he's smoking like 11 cigarettes in a row, and he's literally got one in each hand.
All right, boys, let's get some pictures and get out of here. The reporters.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all go grab pictures off the walls. I want as many lights as you can on the field. Dumping lights on the field.
Dropping light bulbs on the field. Big pile of them.
Oh, God.
You know, they don't make movies like that anymore.
You gotta love it, you know. And I told you guys, I think probably in an old podcast, you know, that is based on a real movie called Zero Hour.
Yep.
And a lot of the dialogue is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is the same. Everything else, they just added the comedy parts. But some of it was, I mean, it's supposed to be a serious movie made back in the 50s. And what are you doing?
Trying to hold a little.
He's playing with his microphone in his eye.
Exactly. Self in the left eye with the microphone.
But if you ever get a chance, go watch the movie Zero Hour. It's supposed to be a serious movie, but you'll laugh all the way through it because of, well, it's because it's Airplane.
Exactly.
So, anyway. Hey, Michael sent me an email, and there's a big asteroid that's going to fly by. Matter of fact, I think it's in the process of flying by as we speak.
No. There's that one. The one I sent the email about is in February.
Oh, really?
Which is already past the end of the world, so I don't know.
Okay, well, there's one flying by this week. It's supposed to get as close to Earth on the 12th, which is 12-12-12.
Ooh, scary.
So, where's your sound effect?
I gave my wife the iPad.
I'm bringing up the page now.
Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to be
this is
close.
A huge one. It's not all that close. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you here. But,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like 3 kilometers. It's a big...
That's a big hunk of rock.
It's a big hunk of rock, but it's actually not all that close. Which one is it? 4179... Totalus.
Mm-hmm.
2.7 kilometers, but it's going to be 18 lunar distances.
Okay, so it's...
Now the one,
what is the lunar distance?
About 180,000 miles.
Okay.
So, but the one I'm pointing out in February, DA-14, will be 0.09 lunar distances from the Earth.
So it's going to come between the moon and us.
It's going to come within 1/10 of the distance of the moon and us. It's going to come pretty damn close to the Earth. They better get their calculations close.
No, so you can pretty much smell the heat as it's flying across the sky going, anybody smell hot rocks?
It's going to be the guys up in the International Space Station when this thing comes through, if they're in the right part of the orbit, are going to go, holy shit!
They're going to have to duck.
What the hell was that?
It'll be the subway and the Blues Brothers coming by there.
There's no chance it'll ricochet off the moon and into us, right?
Oh,
anything that comes in, you know, within lunar orbit is a pretty low chance. But yeah, once it comes within the lunar orbit, it could hit the damn thing and ricochet. Yeah, but you know, I'm sure they've already taken that into their calculations.
What about knock it off out of its orbit?
Could we send two special shuttle-type hardened shuttles up into space with
Bruce Willis and
Bruce Willis on one of them?
Bruce Willis.
I need a drill team.
And what's his name? Buck. what's his name?
Do you feel lucky, dude?
I'm trying to think. God, I can't think of his name now. On Boardwalk, Boardwalk Empire, Bucky Ducky.
Bucky Ducky.
I forget what the guy's name is.
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with his acting style. Or that person. His name, Mr. Bucky Ducky or Ducky Bucky.
God, I can't think of his name. Oh well. It's a yeah. That's going to be a close one.
Yeah.
That is going to be a real close one, and of course, you know. If we hear anybody running around, if you see anybody that looks like a geek running around talking about a person named Ellie, it's probably time to pay attention to what he's doing. Of course, that was the other movie, right?
Shouldn't it is. I'm drawing a blank, though.
What the heck was that one called? It's the other asteroid movie.
What, besides Armageddon?
Yeah, besides Armageddon. There was another one that was out.
Meteor.
Was it Meteor?
Not Meat Eater, Meteor.
No, I don't think that was the name of it, was it?
That's
maybe it was
back.
Called Asteroid.
Asteroids? They got cream for that. Anyway, see. That was I just digressed there. That was from National Lampoon's. My dad's got Asteroids.
He does? Yeah, they make a cream for that. Oh, TV Asteroid. Deep Impact.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That one. Wasn't it Ellie? Ellie, which actually was short for Earth... what the heck did it stand for? Okay, now I'm going to have to look that up, too. Hang on.
Consult the Book of Knowledge.
And he is.
We can hear him
clicking the keys. I wish I'd turn on my typewriter sound for my keys now. It's really driving you guys nuts.
A spiritual word. God, I can't... Book of Eli.
That was an awesome friggin' movie, by the way. One of my all-time favorites.
Maybe it wasn't Ellie. Let me see. Ellie... Deep Impact. Review of Deep Impact. Ellie, yes. Woman named Ellie. But it stood for something. What did it stand for?
So you go, what did Ellie stand for in the movie Deep Impact? ? Okay. Tell me, Google gods. And it says right here,
oh Google, Ellie, we pray to thee.
E-L what exactly? Oh great Google,
give us
gods.
The answer to our yearning question.
And it says transferring data and
42.
That's good. Ellie, which is extinction level event. E-L-E.
That's it.
All right,
yeah. Yes, right. Extinction level event.
Extinction level event.
I was spelling it wrong. I couldn't figure out what the hell the I stood for, but it's not. It's ELE. It was ELE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, this does bring up a dilemma for me, by the way.
Yeah?
Well, you know, I'm working this weekend, so staying up late last night to put out the next virtual Uper was not an option. I'm going to have to do that beginning of this week. But it's December, so you know I normally do Christmas music in December.
Mm-hmm.
But what's my next show number?
I don't know what.
42.
Yeah. I've got it something special for 42 and Christmas music. Wasn't that what I had in mind?
I think you may have to skip to Christmas music.
You got another week.
Yeah, well, but that's also going to take some special production. But yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about.
Yeah,
I should be doing 42.
Could you explain to us what this virtual Uper thing is you speak of?
Yeah,
I heard. You know, there was some new podcast that was on. I downloaded last week.
Mm-hmm.
Called Virtual Uper. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hope you. What was that? That was episode. You said it was episode. What? How come you
41.
Start? How come you start with 41? Don't you usually start with like one?
Not
on a new podcast.
Not in the UP, you don't. You start with 41 and you go up from there. Get it straight.
You see, there were 40 preliminary shows. 40 pilots. So with 41, I finally figured I got it right, and it was time to damn list the thing on iTunes. So there.
There you go. And you got Upercaster on there, too, huh?
I've got Upercast and Virtual Uper on iTunes now. Yeah. After 7 years.
Wow. That's good. Of course, I got to say, this is kind of a historic number for late night. We're up to show 75. That's impressive. And I'm going to have to go back and research, but I'm sure we got an anniversary coming up here soon. I think it's in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I forget when we started this.
Just a wealth of accurate information.
It was like 2 years ago, wasn't it? We're celebrating year two, right?
Yeah. Where I was going with this is, you know, I really see an interesting, ironic relationship between what we consider Google and where it's heading, and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, it is the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is, especially with these little contraptions that we carry around with us. I'm surprised there's not a big red button on it that says...
Don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic. Yeah. It really is. I mean, God, sci-fi is always right.
There you go. You know, literally, you nailed it right there. You get all the super, what I call super athletic, jock, macho guys in the world. And then you got nerds and geeks. And you know what? It's the nerds and the geeks that the super athletic, tough guy jocks end up working for.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the Sci-Fi Channel, we paid attention. That's the way it works.
I just thought of a very important test for Google.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing up the homepage now.
Oh, you're going to type in the question?
I'm going to type in a question, and I'll let you know what it says and see if we've reached the entry yet.
Why can't I find iTunes?
Because it's become very thin with iTunes 11.
It's very thin. Good, I like that.
The answer I was looking for has not occurred yet, so they're still evolving. I typed in Earth, and I was looking for mostly harmless.
Oh, okay.
But that was not one of the top 10 answers yet.
Mostly harmless.
Wait a minute. Maybe I can...
Siri?
Siri. What is Earth?
Checking on that. This might answer your question.
It gave me orbital properties. Large distance from orbit center.
Oh, I forgot that was the fifth book in the trilogy, too.
Physical properties. What?
Mostly harmless.
Yes, it was. It was the fifth book in the trilogy.
I need to reread that.
Oh, there's a picture of Earth. Okay.
I thought that comes on the iPhone anyway.
And for some reason, they show Earth. Oh, okay. They showed all the planets. All right. Well, yeah. Mostly harmless is not an answer.
Oh, okay.
Got one other place to check. Let's see. Search. Where's Google search? I don't have Google search. On my phone.
Brilliant!
Is Google the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
And the answer is... What kind of Google are you using? Mine automatically gives you the answers as you're typing. It's that fast.
The Google spelling is also used in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I wasn't aware of that.
The Google spelling? How? Google didn't exist when that book was written.
Hmm.
There must be a hole in a rift in the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Wow. Well, speaking of Google, Michael.
Yes.
The new Gmail client out for the iPhone?
Yes. I just downloaded it today, and it looks like infinitely better, which was not hard to do.
Is this the one that when you download Google, you can go to the Apps tab, and then there's a bunch of tabs in there? Or is this actually a Gmail app?
This is a new Gmail app that even has a banner across it that says new. That came out this week.
I think I downloaded it, and I think it's the same thing that's in the Google. So I downloaded it, and you said you were actually... I use on my iPhone, of course, I use Apple Mail because it just works. I was trying to inbox. Okay, so I've got the inbox here, and you said you were actually editing?
I was editing the show notes.
Did you access it from the email that I send you with the link? Because I was wondering, how the hell do you get to the show notes from Gmail?
Well, you send...
Yeah, I sent
you to my virtual Uber account.
Right, and you had a link to the...
And I clicked on the link.
Okay.
And it takes me, and I'm still within this app, and now maybe, well, we'll have to compare notes, no pun intended, but it takes me to tabs within the app, and now I'm looking at the show notes, and I can go and edit them on my iPhone.
Okay, so that must be equivalent to the actual Google app, which is on my iPhone, and you can when you bring that up, there's along the bottom there's a tab called apps, and if you select that, then you have all the Google apps right there, like Gmail, Calendar, Docs, Google Plus, News, Reader, Photos, YouTube, Translate, Others, Tasks, Blogger. I think that's it. So I can go to Docs on that, and of course, if I sign up, log in, it will take me right to basically the documents that I have. And then I can edit it from there. So that's kind of interesting. Do you have the Google app on your phone?
I don't know. I've got the Google app on my iPad. I'll have to look at that. But I really didn't like the old Gmail client, and I heard they came out with a new one this week, and I downloaded it. And it does have a very different... The one I downloaded has got a very different look and feel to it.
Yeah. I'm bringing up the one in Google Apps to see just if it's the same.
Sorry about all this dead airtime here, folks.
Oh, that's because we're doing interesting things.
Yeah, we're doing research.
We're doing research right on the air with you. It's an experiment. That's what podcasts are for.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, God.
One thing about all of the mail clients and all of the apps, and you get to a point where you've got, you know, 14 gajillion unread emails when you bring up a new client.
Yeah.
There's no mark everything as read option on any of these damn things. Or, you know, delete this whole group of emails. You got to go through one at a time and go, delete, yes. Delete, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, really?
Very, very annoying. Someone needs to do a proper Gmail, a proper mail client, period.
Okay, so I log into, I go to Google app, and I press the apps button, and then I go to Gmail, and I log in, and the first thing that comes in after I log in, it says, get the Gmail app. Now, with multiple accounts, a new design, and real-time notifications. But I already have the app.
But you have the old app.
Yeah, but it doesn't... Oh, go to the mobile site, or go to the mobile site. Okay, so it takes you to the mobile site, which is the mobile HTML site. Web browser, if you use Google Apps. The Google app on your phone. Now, if you use the Google Gmail app... which is different now, then you get something completely different, which is, I got to say, a lot nicer and reminds me an awful lot of Apple Mail. In fact, it looks pretty much just like Apple Mail.
Okay, I'm downloading the Google app as we speak, since I'm actually in the land of broadband here.
Yeah, might as well do that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I can actually watch you on video and download at the same time and talk. Wow.
You are cool.
Yeah, it looks just like Apple Mail, which is why it's pretty impressive, I guess.
Well, this is actually, is this Sparrow?
Oh, they bought, the name of? They buy Sparrow?
They bought Sparrow.
It looks similar to Sparrow.
No one's admitted whether this is the Sparrow group that rewrote it or not.
Yeah, I bet you they did, but it's a little simpler than Sparrow. Because I had Sparrow. As a matter of fact, I even paid money for Sparrow, and now it's just gone.
Okay, so now you know I have the Google app. Now, this looks different, too. Yeah. Oh.
So many options.
And if I hit Google Mail on the Google app, it takes me to the old Mail client. I don't want that.
Okay. So the new Google Mail app is nicer. If you were using the old Mail client, it's much nicer. But if you compare it to Apple Mail, it's pretty much the same as what you got with Apple Mail. Matter of fact, I am a big fan of Apple Mail, so I have not found anything that comes close to that for an application on Windows. I used to think that Thunderbird was close, but then they started messing with Thunderbird, and they I don't know, I think the thing's horrible now.
Really?
Yeah. And Outlook, I'm used to using Outlook at work, but I don't know. It's just too much crap on my PC at home. You know, Apple Mail seems to be the perfect app for mail for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
anyway, okay. So check out the Gmail app, not Google Map app, not the G Drive app.
the Gmail map, map that the Gmail app by Google, because if you click on Gmail for in the App Store, you get a couple gajillion entries there too.
Yeah. Now if they could only come out with the actual full out Google Map app for the iPhone, that would be great. But we'll see. Probably not going to happen. All right. This is not an Onion news story. This is just something I saw, and I thought it was interesting. And I guess the new meme is called First World Problems.
Uh-huh.
There's third world. I'm not sure what second world is, but first world is, oh my God, my iPhone, the maps don't work on it. What am I going to do? Oh my God. That's a first world problem, as they call it.
Okay. Okay.
But this was, I think, a first world product for you people out there that are chefs or like to cook. You're in the kitchen and your recipe, whatever you're making, requires onions. And you get the onion and you have to peel it and then you have to chop it. And then the tears just come pouring out because, oh my God, I'm chopping an onion and it's just getting to me. Well, fear not, you first worlders. There's actually a product out there called the Onion Goggles.
Get the heck out of here.
They have onion goggles and they sell them in the kitchen gadget stores. You can wear them and it prevents your eyes from watering.
It's not made by a pampered chef, is it?
Huh? Oh
my God. It's not made by a pampered chef, is it?
No, I don't think it is. I don't have a link to it. I actually saw it on Google Plus and I said, you are kidding me. Somebody posted a picture of it. And I said, you're kidding me. And then, of course, my wife looks at it. Both my wife and Josh's wife have solutions for this that don't require goggles. My wife says, well, you just freeze the onion. And if you freeze the onion, then you can cut it up all you want and you don't get any tears because, you don't get the gases or whatever, the fluid coming out.
Fumes.
And your wife, I thought, Josh had the best solution is, well, you fill up a thing of water and you put the onion under the water and you peel it and chop it up in water. That way you don't get anything. I said, why, damn, that's pretty damn smart.
Yipper.
Yeah, so anyway. But if you can't stand to do either of those things, you can go get your goggles. I'm sure at any kitchen gadget store out there.
And they're available on eBay and Bed and Bath and Beyond. And I'm look. I typed it into the Book of Knowledge.
Oh, okay.
They run anywhere from $15 to $30.22, depending on the designer level that you want.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. I'm going to go try to do something here. This will be the amateur radio tip of the night, or something that you probably didn't hear about before. And I'll let you listen to it. We are going to start this show. I'm starting to formulate some ideas, guys. But we gotta convert Radio QRM into an amateur radio show. I've got some good ideas. We'll have to get together and think about that. That won't be a weekly show. Matter of fact, it'll probably be a monthly show. Because we'll actually have to work on the things we're going to do on it. But for anybody, let me turn on the radio.
Okay.
I should have it on the right frequency. Yes. Let me bring that up. Okay. If you're on the HF section or shortwave and you hear something that sounds like this and you go, what the hell is that? That is a mode, amateur radio mode called JT65, and it was originally designed to do EME communications. And for those that don't know what EME is, there's some static going in there, by the way. I think I'm on 80 meters. Yeah, I'm on 80 meters there. EME means Earth, Moon, Earth, which means moon bounce is another name for it. And it was used because it's very good at long distances and weak signal. And these tones go up and you can bounce them off the moon and other people can hear them now. They started using it on HF channels, or HF band to... is it too loud?
It's a little bit loud.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was controlling the volume. Sorry.
No.
Oh, to you guys, I'm not controlling the volume. to the podcasters, I am. Hang on. I can fix that.
I can fix that. Famous last words.
There we go. Is that better?
That's better.
Both Josh and Michael were sitting there with their hands on their ears with blood coming out.
It's still kind of loud.
Oh. Still, yes.
Okay.
There, that's better.
Okay. Sorry, I had your monitors up. You get the monitor feed, and that's way up. Anyway, so what they use that for is now to check propagation on HF. So, and you'll hear guys communicate with this. And what's interesting is if you think it's kind of like the Twitter of the HF bands, because you think Twitter, you're limited with Twitter with 140 characters.
Yeah.
Well, with this, you're limited to 13 characters. So basically, the QSOs, which is when you talk to another station out there, is basically CQ, your call sign. And then somebody replies, your call sign, their call sign, and then a report, a signal report, and then you say, Roger, Roger, and that's the end of the conversation. The neat thing about this, okay, I'm going to turn this off now.
Yeah, it's riveting.
The neat thing about it. Is a lot of people are now starting to do these things, and then they report them on the internet to PSK cluster map, which shows you where you can hear different parts of, you know, where the bands are active and where you can hear different parts of the band. And it's a easy way to talk to a bunch of people all over the world very quickly. You don't say much, but it's good to figure out propagation. And The funky thing about it is it's all time. You got to have your clock on your computer synced up, and so the first 30 seconds is one part of it where one group's talking, and then the second 30 seconds is where the other group responds, and everybody's synced up, and it they go. And the other thing is what you were listening to was a whole bunch of people talking simultaneously, but somehow the computer program that was made can figure out all the different ones. And if you use the program, you show it, and all, you know, the end of the 30 seconds come up on the first part, and all of a sudden, boom, you see a bunch of call signs and signal reports and everything just show up on your page. It's mm-hmm. I don't know, I find it, I like the digital modes, so I find it interesting, and this was a freaky different one out there.
Yeah,
and it helps with propagation reports and everything. So
explain for the audience what a propagation report is.
Propagation would be when you talk on the HF radio or HF bands. When you talk, you're actually using what? Okay, CB. You use skip. Maybe mm-hmm. people would know what that is. It's where your signal goes up and bounces off the ionosphere and back down. And so, depending on what the ionosphere, what shape it's in, and what its height above, the ionosphere moves up and down. During the day, it's higher. At night, it cools, and the ionosphere comes down. So, depending on the distance, you can get better skip. And so, that's why people in the United States can talk to people in Europe or Japan, because if they've got a good ionosphere bounce, it bounces off there, and the signal ends up in Europe. Kind of like what a satellite does, except for it's using the ionosphere. You bounce signals off a satellite. So that's what, and of course, it varies day to day. And different bands, which are the frequencies you're using, set of frequencies you're using, seem to be hot or cold during different parts of the day, or just time periods. And so what you do is you kind of watch the propagation and say, oh, look, I can see all the New England guys right now. They're all talking fine. They're getting signals fine from Russia right now. So that you can go on and you'll hear a bunch of Russia stations. The next night you might go out there and you won't hear Russia at all, but you'll hear France. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and that's propagation in a nutshell. Michael, you have any other things to add to that explanation, being that you're an RF guy? He's just shaking his head and looking.
Yeah, I'm tired at this point, so no.
So no, like that. Honestly, no.
But I think an amateur radio show would be fun to do, and you know, shows different things like this, which I'm learning for the first time. Actually, I'm just ready to start doing it. I just got everything set up. I figured out how the program works. I read about it because, you know, I kept hearing these tones. I was listening to the radio and I hear these tones. I said, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I went and looked up different amateur radio signals. And luckily, if you go to the ARRL.org site, which is the Amateur Radio Relay League site, they have a series back there, and they'll have all the digital modes, and they actually have little sound bits for what each signal sounds like. And I found that one. I said, oh, this is kind of interesting. So, and there's a lot more out there. So I kind of like the digital modes. It's fun to go out there and yak by voice with people, but the geek in me likes the digital stuff. So anyway, that's your amateur radio bit of the day. I think we ran out of topics. You guys got anything?
Toppings? Yeah, we did run
toppings?
Out of toppings.
Did I say toppings? Topics.
We
it's
ran
the
out of
port.
Toppings.
The port's get.
I want mushrooms and extra cheese.
I don't know whether this is saying anything, but we're all sitting here yawning. The podcast. I think we better.
Sorry. It's been a long weekend, guys.
Yeah. We should probably close this one. We've gone over an hour, almost an hour and a half. So we'll say number 75 is done. But before we say that, I'd like to say go to all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. We're thinking about you, and thank you for what you do. We hope you get, especially the guys OCONUS, we hope you get back to your friends and families real soon.
Absolutely.
And we have a musical guest. It's Bill Myers tonight. We're staying with the Christmas mode this month. We have Angels We Have Heard on High, and I'm sure that that is safe to play because it's a very old Christmas carol.
Yeah.
So, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the Mercy EMS station, I am Michael, the virtual Uber. Losing my voice.
Oh, and thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next week. Here's Bill Myers. Samson, speak. Good boy.